CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
That is watching me and listening to me over a microphone as I talk to you and ask you the one important question, how do I press start? Which I forgot. Okay. Well, I'm going to see. This is actually not planned, even though it looks like you know something you see at a keynote. See, your timing was excellent. You called right when I was about to start. Yes. Okay, I've just opened up the debugger. I'm in the debug mode. I've set a checkpoint on the first line of the test.cfm. How do I set the debugging to actually start debugging? You know, the start debugging thing. I kind of forgot. Mm-hmm. Yep. Run debug. Uh-huh. Yep. Okay, the new configuration? Well, I actually created a new one, so this is the instance of the debug. Okay, just click debug. Okay. Yep, I see the debug started. Yep. Run the page in a browser. Okay. Actually, the page ran, but it didn't grab the debug. The debug window says new configuration, Fusion debug. Underneath it is the little Fusion debug icon thingy with, you know, the sprocket and the square, and after it's saying Fusion debug, and it's just waiting there. Flip over to the browser, run the page. I'm testing the same page I'm running, but it's not actually stepping into the debug. So is there something I've missed on starting? Oh, I have to restart Cold Fusion? Well, the fact that I haven't restarted Cold Fusion since like 2 days ago, that's probably the whole problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, rather than stopping the debugger, I'm just gonna... Well, actually, I just closed Flex Builder. Yeah, it's the fast, stop. See, I had this whole like presentation set up that I was gonna come in, I was gonna say, we're talking about search engine optimization in Cold Fusion. Everyone's gonna say, huh? Oh, sorry, that was an error. We're gonna be talking about error handling. And that's the presentation, but you guys are on the phone now, so I'm doing the last part first, and I'm being taped. There is a camera right in back watching me talk to you, restart Cold Fusion. And everyone is laughing. I feel great. Yes, I do this on purpose. I like people laughing. It is the Jeopardy theme. Oh, he's in Germany, but he's an Englishman in Germany, so he might not recognize the Jeopardy theme. And if he does, it might be a different theme over there. I don't know. So, as long as I'm in teaching mode, I might as well explain everything. Oh, I'm talking to them, not necessarily to you. Thank you. No. Yes, running Cold Fusion on a laptop is not always the best thing because it's a little slow. Tiny drop. Well, he's English, so I don't have to worry about the German. I get an English accent rather than a German accent, but it doesn't matter. I can understand him. You're still here. Okay, Cold Fusion is about to start. I have three more little boxes. Come on. Make me look good. Three more. Two more little boxes. Okay, we're almost there. which is better than yesterday where when I had to actually plug this into the Java and I didn't remove one little piece of text, it kept crashing on me because, well, I didn't read the documentation which said line 7, remove any of this particular piece of text. Oh no, it's stopping? Okay, so once it started, just go debug, set to debug, reload the page, and should be okay? Okay. Well, I'm going to assume everything's going to be okay. I'm going to go into my other part of the presentation. Mm-hmm. Okay, anything goes wrong, I will call you and actually have to move over there because everyone's going to come after me. Okay, let me start from the beginning. I will talk to you guys later. Thank you very much. Okay, bye. I love cell phones. Actually, unlimited incoming. That way anyone can call me anytime, from anywhere. I will kind of rush through, yeah, you know who I am, I've done a lot of stuff, I'll tell you about it later, doesn't matter. I was going to go and start with this, you know, and then say, well, what's going on? Well, whoops, it's an error. We're doing error handling in Cold Fusion for fun and profit. Because the thing is, we want to be perfect. The other way I was going to start was by quoting Run DMC, but again, later. We want perfect code. We want our code to work right the first time, and even if it doesn't work right the first time, it should work right at least when it goes to deployment. And if it doesn't work right, we want it to look like it works right no matter what. And the one thing that people don't realize is paranoia, it's not a mental disease. It's a proper programming state of mind. Because there is something in the world called code. Code is alive and intelligent, and it hates us. It watches us and waits until we're going to run in front of an entire audience, and then it refuses to work. It crashes. It does everything wrong at the most inopportune time because it hates us. So being paranoid about your code, nah, it's not a mental disease, it's defense. So we're going to go and break down error handling into 3 types of errors, not 4. See, another error. We have pre-compile errors, and yes, Cold Fusion is compiled, runtime errors, and logic errors. Pre-compile errors are basically things that stop your Cold Fusion from actually running. If you get one of these errors, it blows up the template, it stops. If you ever see a site that has a pre-compile error, basically fire that programmer because they did not test their code. Now, pre-compile errors come from tag attribute errors, missing pound signs or closing brackets, bad syntax. Literally, the Cold Fusion code is wrong in the template, and when you run it, it just says, sorry, I can't compile this, fix it, and then we can move forward. Now, the thing is, you can't catch a pre-compile error because the Cold Fusion isn't even running yet. It's just trying to compile and saying, bleh. So what do we do with this? Well, obviously we set some error handling just so it reports it, because if we don't get a report of the error, okay, well, we ran the code, we're expecting it to run because it's a scheduled event, cool, no problem. Okay, we haven't seen a result in 20 days. What are all these emails from my boss? That's what we want to avoid. Always set a site-wide error handler, because this will not stop the errors from happening. It will not gracefully handle the errors, but it'll report the errors. So what you do is you have an email in your custom site-wide error handler, which will email you a dump of the errors immediately. So when you get 4,000 emails in your box saying, error, 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 it kind of makes you want to handle the errors. It's a wonderful whip, and people need that. Now, how do we deal with runtime errors? Well, we can run the code, which we can try to do, but not always possible, because sometimes we have code that, when we actually run it, is going to do something that we don't want to happen until it actually runs live. So we can rewrite the code to, you know, take out the sea of queries and, you know, paste stuff down and play around with it, but running the code, not always our best option. Well, we have 3 other options. The first is compiling the code. If you run your code through the Cold Fusion compiler, which basically compiles it down to a class file, it's going to try to compile the code. If it doesn't work, it's going to spit out an error. That gives you an error message, but looks ugly, massively ugly. Well, other thing you can do if you have access to the admin, which is the best way, use the code validator. All this does is you point it at a template or directory, you say validate this code, and if it's broken, it'll report exactly where it's broken and what the problem is. And you can fix it and then go forward. If your code is working right, then it might say, well, this syntax is bad, or you know, it's possibly wrong here, but it'll actually say your code is runnable. You will not hit a precompile error without running the code. And that, wonderful option. People don't know about it or use it anywhere near enough. Problem is, if you're on a shared host, you don't have access to it. They won't give you admin access. So I've been talking to CFX Hosting, trying to give them a whole thing for the admin API, where they can just take an admin API, write it up for doing this, put the administrator password in the template, compile it, and say, here, run your code against this, and you will get that same piece of information without having to go to the admin. So you can go and test your code without actually running the code, so you don't blow up our box. Well, actually, it won't blow up the box because it's just compile. It's not a runtime yet. Blowing up the box is next. But that is probably the best way, and you should see some of that code, well, tomorrow. Should have been today, but, well, the debugger. Which, actually, you're seeing live, well, did see live for the first time, which will hopefully work when my ColdFusion reboots. But no one else has seen it before. I learned about it last Wednesday, and that made me person number 3 in the world that knew it existed. Then I told Ben, that's 4, then a couple of people from Adobe, that's 6, and then, well, then people had beer last night, so that's another 50, and, well, if you're going to create a buzz. Okay. Again, another error. There are 5 ways of doing runtime error handling. Runtime error handling is you have code. It's working, but something is going wrong in the execution of the code, and we have to find out what it is. Now, this can be missing templates, bad data coming in, bad connection to a database or a search, all these various types of bad things that can happen on runtime, but the code is perfectly working. And on the whole, you'd rather not have these showing up. And you want to try to capture them because you, A, never trust people, B, never trust your boss seeing what you're doing, C, never trust yourself doing the code because, well, if it looks perfect, it's not. And D, code hates you. Yes, I keep saying that because paranoia, wonderful thing. Yes?
Are your screenshots going to
be available somewhere in the book? Yes, I'm going to have the screenshots. This is actually, I had this used this last year. It's not in the book, but I will plug it in. I will give it out at the booth. Anyone that wants anything, it's all yours. I will make up buttons with each of my screenshots. I got a button machine upstairs. So if you want buttons saying, error, 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 it's yours. I plan far ahead. Now, this is top-down the way errors are handled in ColdFusion. If you have nothing at all, you have a system error handler. ColdFusion is going to handle the error. It's going to throw a message, hey, something bombed. Well, ColdFusion's okay, but it doesn't, it's not good enough control. Both because if it's an end user seeing this error message, what's this? And if it's a programmer seeing the message, what's this? So the next level is the site-wide custom error handler. Now this, I think everyone should set. Because when you set it, you not only can give all the same information that's in the system error handler, all the debug stuff, but you can also do other things with the error information, such as emailing it, logging it, parsing it. If you want to say, I get this error, but has it happened any time before? Just write a parsing script, take the error dump, and say, throw it to the database. Or my thing is I just do a CF dump in an email and send myself the error message, the variables, the form, the URL, the CGI, the application if it exists, the session if it exists. I mean, I dump everything. I've gotten 2 meg error messages, which is because, I had a loop going with CFHTTP and I fixed that real fast. Your machine is not happy downloading 2 meg at a lot. So, again, but we want to avoid the site-wide custom error handler because it's site-wide. It's one error handler for the entire machine. Not always the best thing. Oh, let me rephrase that. One error handler for each ColdFusion instance on a machine. So if you're running the multiple instance version of ColdFusion, each instance has its own site-wide error handler rather than, everything. but being that I don't run multiple, it's the entire machine. Next level down is CF error. CF error, what's that? CF error, there's a couple of modes of using it, but again, handles errors. It captures the error event and deals with it. Most people do not use it because there's other better ways, but it still exists. Next level down, how many people here are using application CFC? How many people have actually read Raymond and my article in the Fusion Authority Quarterly Update about application CFC? I'm just leaving now. Application CFC is a wonderful thing introduced in ColdFusion MX7. We talked about it back in 2001, and when they put it in, it was like, wow, cool. One of the things it has is an onError method. The onError method handles any errors in, you know, that where the application CFC is being used. So that is a kind of a code-wide error handler for that application. And again, does the same thing. I'm going to show you it actually in use, but wonderful thing. People don't use it often enough because if the next level down, which is the lowest level of error handling, a try-catch, if you don't do a try-catch, you don't have an on-error, and you don't have a CF error, and you don't have a site-wide, you're going straight up to ColdFusion and saying, hey, ColdFusion, handle it, and that's ugly. So you want to try to handle it as low as possible before going up where you lose control. So the lowest level, of course, is the try-catch. And that costs you nothing, because people are like, it's error handling. I'm going to put in all this extra code. Is it going to cost? Costs nothing to use. You set some code that you want to try. If an error happens within the code, you can catch that error and either gracefully give a message, try an alternative piece of code, stop. You can do anything you want. That is what you should have on all the code that you have to deal with. Which brings up another question of, well, methodology. So before we get into methodologies, let's just, again, jump through this. The error handling system error stops the execution of a page, writes everything to a log, no control, and you know all the information is just in the ColdFusion administrator. Remember that ColdFusion admin page that, you know, check off if you want this information, this information, this information? Well, check everything. Well, except for that Flash one, because that's for debug for when you're actually working with Flash. When you're running a site, don't have that on. Well, don't have debugging on when you're working with a live site either. But you know, you have all the information, again. Important thing is no user control. Set in the administrator, you've seen this. Anyone not seen this? Cool. Either I've got everyone to sleep or everyone's like, you know, they've done all this error handling before. Wonderful. CF error has three modes. Really, it's four, but we're not going to talk about that other one. It's not necessary. It runs in a template when an error occurs. It was introduced back in like ColdFusion 2 or something. I'm sure I can find out exactly what is introduced if I go through all these documents that I have. You know, okay, ColdFusion 1. Where's the ColdFusion tags? It used to be DB tags way back in time. The white hairs are not just for my kids or the debugger. So, oh, that's the fourth one, the validate. Basically, if you're ever running your code and you say, why is this bombing out? Where's this variable coming from? You have something like date underscore required or birthday underscore date. That is old style form-based debugging where you have all these underscore some sort of validation in your form variables. ColdFusion accepts those and says, these are validation rules. Try to work with them. And people are like banging their head against the wall because they haven't seen this at all, because it hasn't existed for years. So if you ever see something where like you have some variable that's saying doesn't exist or isn't the right value or something, and it's like you see an underscore in there, think about this. You know, just you know, a little thought. You probably never see it, but you never know. So we don't care about that. The request is the lowest human-controlled level of error handling. Operates on after any and all other error handlers, stops the execution of a page. That's an important thing. Some error handlers do not stop the execution of a page because we can grab that error, handle it, and then go on. That's the, you know, making your code look perfect for fun and profit. If your code stops, doesn't look perfect. But if it keeps going on and people think, okay, I've seen no errors. Yeah, we've just, you know, nuked a database and, you know, the hardware's melting down, but they saw no errors. What they don't see doesn't hurt you. It can hurt your ISP, but, well, whole other story. We're going to skip over all this because we kind of like jumped over time, and there's more important things besides the debugger. Don't worry, I'm not jumping over to that. But basically, it allows you to write some, to control over it. It doesn't allow any coefficient tags, which is the main problem with it, which is why you shouldn't really be using it, because it's just, you have a very limited set of information you could use, and that's it. You can't send the email anywhere. You can't really work with the data. It's just kind of last resort before. So, but it exists. Then we have an exception, which is actually useful because it overrides the site-wide error handler. It stops the execution of the page, but it allows you to do anything you want in there, any piece of ColdFusion code you want. So if you want, again, an email, a redirect, you know, okay, my machine just blew up, do a CF location over to his machine because hopefully it's working. And if his blew up, well, it's his fault now. No, actually, it's still your fault. It's always your fault. But you just basically set the type to error and set the location, the path location to where your error template is. And have fun. Go to town. But the better way, getting better and better and better, is onError. The onError is very simply a method in an application CFC, which you put error code in saying, okay, if we have an error, run the onError method. The onError method, though, stops the execution of the page. So if you want to do something else, you're going to have to call some other method or some other piece of code from the onError, which includes the onRequest end does not run if you get an error in any of the methods before it. You know, if your request blows up, the onRequest end doesn't run, and if you have a footer in your onRequest end, well, your message might have, hey, it's a nice header, an error message, nothing. So you might have to include the onRequest end by hand. If the onRequest end has an error, then, well, that means that the onError has an error, and it gets thrown up to if you have a CF error or whatever else. So, you know, error handlers can have errors, which throw errors up higher. Always got to watch out for that. But basically, it's the same as any other CFC. You either run some code in it. If you want to output it, you set the CFC to output. You can do a CF include. It's a function. It's a method in a CFC. Have you all used CFCs? You are not shaking your head. You, right there in the yellow shirt. You use CNCs, okay? Yes, okay. You think I'm not watching? I am. Now, the best thing, of course, is the try-catch. Again, I will say it, a try-catch costs you nothing. What happens in ColdFusion is that it says, you know, we're going to compile this code. We're going to set a checkpoint here and a checkpoint here. Now, if any error happens within these checkpoints, then we're going to run this code. Otherwise, we're not going to run this code. We don't care about this code. We just have it, you know, it's compiled because it has to be compiled anyway. So it's just sitting over here. So when you're running a page execution, it's not running anything extra that's going to slow you down. So it costs nothing at all to put a CF try catch in. You're in the try, you're running some code, an error is thrown. Hey, do we have a flag that says we're going to try? Yes. Try to handle the error with a catch. Otherwise, nothing at all. And I look at every single millisecond of my code. So if I will use a try catch, it kind of says something. I won't use a return type or a type in a CF argument, but that's a whole other story. Trust me, a good story. So what you do is simply set some code within the try. You set a catch to handle the code. Either you set it without a type where it handles everything, or you can handle specific errors, database versus include versus something else. And you end your try after July 1st, 2006. But you just basically you try some code and you catch any errors and you can gracefully handle it. If you're missing an include, then, okay, type equals include. If you say, well, this file might not exist because it hasn't been uploaded or whatever, put in a spacer file. Or, hey, we're running CFTalk, and we have all these threads, and the thread might not exist yet, but someone's coming to look at it on the site. Well, we get an exception of file does not exist. Run the builder of that file, write the file to disk, and then try to run the file again. Show it to them, and they're happy. So you can you're handling an error. The error exists. We have a problem. We have a solution, and no one sees the problem. So your code looks perfect. Perfection is great, other than spammers. But another problem that we have to deal with another time. There's always problems. Always. Doesn't matter. There's no such thing as perfect code. If there was, we wouldn't be here. Now, caching, there's various different types, as I mentioned. Got to get that mouse working. Applications default, basically captures everything. We run down, we have a database. We can say, if the database dies, and only if the database dies, try using a different database. You know, let's say you have multiple databases. You have your SQL running. We have an Access backup. Yeah, I know you're like, you know, squinting your eye. You have a second SQL machine, which is your real-time backup. So when the first one dies, you can go and change the data source right there on the fly and then try it again. She didn't squint her eye. That must be the proper way of doing things. Yes, I'm looking at you. I like interaction. It's a wonderful thing. But you see, if you specify database, it'll say, okay, if it's a database problem, we'll try to handle it. But if it's any other problem, do something else. See, by being very specific, you can say what errors can be handled and what errors should be, you know, crashable. Template, security, you don't have to worry about much anymore. Other things. Object, if you have an object problem, COM objects, Java connections, etc. Missing include, that one is a very important thing, and it's going to bring me to my next mention. Expressions, your expression is bad, you know, something is greater than something else. That expression just missing some information in that function. Lock is one that you run into every once in a while, especially if you're doing redirects. For search engine optimization, what I was supposed to start with, I have a little thing that makes my site look like I have no variables being passed on the URL at all. I do it by rewriting the URL and including a page. But in order to do that, ColdFusion automatically locks the handler that is doing that rewrite. If it, you know, and then every once in a while, rare, I mean, how many times do you have like 4,000 people hitting the site at that exact same second? More often than you think. But if you have a lock handler, rather than throwing an error when you have a lock, you can say, well, we have a lock, let's just wait a couple of seconds and try again, or go on, because you don't want your page set to 5 minutes, do you? Okay, the answer is no. You want a timeout on your page set to, like, you know, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 5 minutes is bad. Yes, it's bad. I have lost my crowd. Usually, you know, you shake your head, they all shake your head. You go like this, they go like this. You smile, and, okay, I got a couple of people smiling. Now, let me stop for a moment and go into philosophy. I like philosophy. There are two states of philosophy in error handling and ColdFusion. One of them says, try catch. Try to run some code and catch any errors. If a variable is the wrong type, try to use it. Catch an error. If it doesn't exist, try to use it anyway. Catch the error. Now, that's perfectly okay. But because a try catch is over a large block of code, you don't have really control over which part of the code is throwing in the error. If you're running a, let's say, CF query with 5 variables, which of those variables are the one that doesn't exist or is the wrong data type? So that is the try and catch method of error handling. There's another type, which is test before you run. And that simply says, well, let's do a is defined. Let's do a data type on the variable we're going to use on a case-by-case basis. And, you know, it has nothing to do with any of this. Yes, thank you. I have lots of time, nothing to say. It says, let's do a case-by-case examination of the code without using any of this error handling stuff. Just say, is it valid? Is it an email? Is it whatever? test it first before you run it. So it comes to the question of which is better. The better one is the one that is faster. I'll give you an example. What do you do when you do a page exists? You know, you check if a page exists on a file system. What's actually happening? What's ColdFusion doing? It's hitting the disk. So if you have a really heavily hit site that's running, you know, hitting the disk anyway, you're saying ColdFusion, hit the disk, check if this file exists. Now, normally you would think that's the proper thing. You're checking for existence before you're trying. But hitting the disk is costly. So in that case, where 99% of the time you expect the file to exist, doing the try catch is the right thing. If, on the other hand, you expect the file to exist, well, 2% of the time, and the other 98%, it might not, then testing first, even though it's costly. You gotta basically look at how often the error is going to happen, and what is the cost of the error handling. The cost is really important, because I'm gonna segue later on into CFCs, functions, and how to make them run really, really fast by removing all the error handling. Well, we did all this. Nothing. Now, there are two things that go along with the try-catch. The first is the CF throw, where rather than having, you know, you have an error and we're catching it, you're throwing your own error. You're saying, well, we're in a try-catch. Let's throw an error. Let's say running this has an error. Throw it up and cause an error message to happen. Personally, I have never in my life done this because I've never had a reason. If I have an error, why would I report it to my try-catch when I could handle it myself in code? But again, philosophy. You have to choose what's best. If you have this really hardcore error handling where every error is documented, emailed to 5 people, you know, step-by-step, you know, process of error handling, then yeah, you might want to do a throw. You might want to throw it up to the error handler. If on the other hand, you're one guy sitting on a 550 megahertz machine that's running 300,000 hits a day, then you can be choosing. Me? I have to be choosing. Yes? Yes, that is the bubbling up. Basically, remember the order of operations? If an error happens here and it's not handled here, goes up. It bubbles up to the surface. Now, if you have nested try catches, where one of the lower ones catches an error, but it's not the error you want to really catch, you can say, well, actually, that's the rethrow, but we can say over in one of the lower ones, throw an error or rethrow an error and try to, you know, bubble it up to the next one. Well, that's the rethrow, which CF rethrow, which is probably not here. It's not. CF rethrow, which says, we have an error where we are now. We don't want to handle it here. Let's go up to the next level. Let's throw it up. So you're rethrowing the error rather than handling it in your error handler. That is actually useful because if you don't have the proper handler where you are, and you know, if you're using a framework, you might not have that handler. It might be somewhere else. You want to rethrow the error. Now, let me do a fast segue because I'm looking at my time and I'm good. You use CFCs. You use functions. Now, what happens when you have let's start with return types. What happens if you don't send back a variable and you set the return type to structure? Right, if the structure doesn't exist. I don't have my Watchango home site open. Yes, I'm using home site and Eclipse at the same time. Because HomeSite, I've been using it a long time, and I'm going to show you. But basically, if you don't follow the rules that you set in your function or your CFC, it's going to throw an error. Where does that error happen? It doesn't happen in the CFC. The error is thrown to the parent template. You can't handle these errors. You can't say, hey, we're not returning a structure, so handle the error somewhere. Oh, come on. Just start. Oh, that, I don't know, didn't even check. Is this still, let's refresh. We'll just hit that to start. So let's do a... Okay. Normally, this is supposed to basically do CFFU, and it builds a function for you. No, no, it doesn't hate you. It just... No. I set it as keystrokes in this. What's that doing? What it is doing is two things. One is making sure you are returning something from that function. You cannot return nothing. You must return something. And the second thing is it's taking whatever you're returning and evaluating it to see, well, is it of a type date? What's the most costly operation in ColdFusion? So basically you're saying, hey, let's run an evaluation for the fun of it. That's going to fail. It's going to fail because you're not returning a date. So why are you checking? You're returning the data. You are controlling the data that's coming back. But you're checking the return type. Problem there. Because it's saying, you don't trust yourself to go and send back the right data. So me, I never use return types, if I can help it. Well, actually, there's only one return type I'll ever use. Void. Because you're saying we're not returning anything. Otherwise, you remove the return type, you can return anything you want, including nothing, and it speeds up your process and uses less memory because you're avoiding evaluation. Now, this is not for everything, but this basically saves you a step, and it saves you one important thing, which is an error being thrown somewhere else. You're not handling the error inside your CFC, you're throwing the error up, so this avoids having an internal error. But that's a little nothing. That's not the real meat. I am really upset. This was supposed to... Make that a little nicer. Now this is the same problem. What happens if you're sending a date in? You know, you're hard coding a date in the calling template, and you're sending it in. You're controlling the date going in. Do you have to check it's a date? Do you have to check if it exists? Now, note, this is because you are controlling it. When you work with a team, you might have different things to work with. But, and we'll deal with that in a moment, but you're now doing two extra things. You're saying, does this variable exist, and is it of the proper type? You're doing an evaluation on coming in. So again, that's a little more costly, and you're not controlling any errors. An error that happens here is not controlled here. It is controlled in the calling template. So again, well, I just do this. Now wait, you're in a team. You need to go and handle that error, right? How do you make sure that it exists, or how do you make sure it's the proper thing? This looks familiar, doesn't it? Basically, you're taking control of the error handling yourself. You're saying, if I have an error, I'm going to handle it, rather than having ColdFusion throw it up to the calling template. So now we can say, we can call an internal onError method. We can now have an onError method inside our CFC. That onError method can handle the error gracefully rather than having the calling template handle it. We have to worry, does the calling template have error handling to say that the CFC broke? So you're taking more control while you're losing some of the cleanliness of a function. And the same thing goes for, you know, anything else dealing with, you know, does it exist? Is the proper data type? And the question is, wait, you're going to say, well, what happens if I want to go and throw it outside? Oh, yes. Thank you, yes. Hey, another error, but... if we have an error, we're just going to throw it up. We can either throw it up or we can handle it inside, but we have control over it. And actually, I mentioned this to someone at Adobe, and they were like, you know, taking notes. So if we see in the next version, you know, innate something that, you know, on error and says we can either throw the error up or handle it with a specific method inside the CFC, that might happen. Might not. I have no clue because he didn't say why he was taking notes. He was just taking notes. So the guys with the guns in the back might be from him. But the point is, and there is a point, taking control of your errors, handling them yourself, handling them gracefully. Just double checking the time. Yes?
Can I make a comment on that?
Yes, please. Here's the question, directly to that. Do you trust the people using your code?
I don't know all the people using my code.
Thank you. So if you're throwing an if you have a potential of throwing an error because they're not sending in the right thing, and you don't know if they're going to handle the error properly, if they're going to wrap their call to the method inside a try-catch or inside something else, you're basically saying they're going to handle the error that comes in, which they might not have another CFC installed. If you're passing a CFC reference, they might not have various things installed. You want to handle certain errors because you can't trust them. Doing this allows you to say, my CFC, which I'm distributing, handles these specific errors. If we don't have a child CFC or a sibling CFC that should exist, we're not going to trust them to say if it exists or not. We're going to say inside, you do not have this CFC in existence. In order to run this CFC, you need this other CFC. Or you do not have this CFX tag, this object, this whatever in existence, you know, you have to install it. You're taking control away from the user of the CFC, but you're taking control for specific things. You can still say, well, otherwise throw the error up. You can mix and match. But there's certain times you want to take control. You want to do what many other objects do in Java or whatever, which is handle the error internally. You know, if you're doing a package, your package should handle the errors.
That's not correct, because in Java, the API documents where exceptions are thrown, it's up to the user of the class to decide how they want to handle it.
The API documents. Who writes the API? So you just write the documents saying, this error will be thrown and can be caught outside. This error will be thrown and it'll be handled inside. It'll throw this error message, but you're controlling the error message. Rather than just sending some general, oh, template does not exist, you're now saying specifically, because, well, remember, if we don't have this CF throw, we're not controlling the error, it's throwing, you know, just some general cold fusion error. If you can take control of the error, you are now saying this particular error, this is the solution to the error, you're taking control. So, again, you're writing the documentation of the API. You can still throw an error, but you're controlling what the person sees on the error. Again, all about control, but yes. It all depends on documentation, what's been done, what's been expected, et cetera, et cetera. There's no one set way. Oh, just for a note, I did this for a Mach 2 application, which they were going to move from ColdFusion over to .NET, and there's a good chance they're going to stay with ColdFusion, because all I did was remove all the return types, all the types, all the requireds, just from the CFCs, sped the whole thing up greatly. Now, this works great for Mach 2 because guess what? You're not supposed to be touching Mach 2 files. You're not supposed to be, you know, rewriting Mach 2. It's all there. So you might as well remove it all and trust Mach 2 to work the way it's supposed to. Might not always, but the errors are like, if you ever see an error, are going to be so few and far between, you can go and handle it or just call Hal on the phone. Wonderful thing. Once I got it, I was like, how did I ever live without it? Why? Because it has internet. Oh, I mean, and it works as a phone, you know, that thing. But, you know, doing this is for, you know, when you're testing your code, yeah, putting your types, putting your return types. If you want to test it, you want to go and write code. But when you're actually putting it to a site, and if you know, hey, that code looks, it's not 100%, but it's probably 99% error-free, and we're handling the different types of errors, the validation, the existence, et cetera, it looks good. Let me go and return and remove all this stuff, which is going to slow it down. Now your code runs really fast. It looks really great. And it's not just that, okay, you have a code that runs perfectly and doesn't look like it has an error, but, well, I didn't have a beard when this code started to run, and it's a little slow. speed kills. Lack of it. So we're speeding it up. Now, we have 12 more minutes, I think. I mean, this ends at 10:30? Good. I have a time thing, you know. When this thing ends, I keep talking for like 5 hours. But we're going to have questions, and then we're going to hopefully jump back over to this and see it run. Let me close this off. So any questions about error handling, anything that we haven't done, could do, et cetera, et cetera? Concepts, philosophy, birth date. Okay, at least if I got a laugh, then people are actually, you know, listening, and I haven't confused everyone. Have I confused everyone? You know, everyone like got what I said? I mean, is it? Yeah, question.
Yes, the guy up front mentioned that you lose part of the documentation.
Yes. Very simple. Write it with your types. Write it with the types, with the return types, with the requireds. Have it all there. You run it. You tested it. It looks good. Auto document your code, and then write a little ColdFusion function with like 3 lines of code to go through all your templates and remove all the return types and the types and the requireds. So you'll have a double test in it. You'll say, okay, well, the CF argument is checking that it's required or not. And then we have code over here that's testing if it's required or not. It all looks good. Run the documentation. Remove all the types. Run it again. Looks all good. Now you have your documentation, and you have your speed, and you have everything. You have a backup of your code because, well, the ones that still have the required, the types, the return types. It's a step more work. It is more work. But the result is speed. And a lot of times when you have a client or you have a customer, what you're dealing with, they want speed. They want ColdFusion to write the code fast, but they also want the ColdFusion to run fast. And people say, well, if you want speed, you use struts, you use, you know, C++, you use assembler. Yeah, but if you write an application in assembler, how long is that going to take? I can write a little ColdFusion application. You've seen the cartoon the other week about parsing a buck? Okay. It would take us about 5 seconds to write an application to parse a buck, other than the slicing up and scanning. If you try to do that in assembler, it might take a little longer. Okay, how are we going to go and check the file system? Well, how does assembler check a file system? I don't know offhand, because I don't do assembler. What? Depends on the platform. How does ColdFusion check a file system? Does it depend on the platform? Well, how you say where the file exists depends on the platform, but the actual CF file tag is CF file. So ColdFusion is used for speed. Playing around with ColdFusion gives you speed of execution. You get the best of all worlds, and you run it first to get your documentation. Yes? I don't have metrics. What I have is, I mean, I can only work with other people's code. My own code is insane. I mean, I can show you it, but it's like 5 lines of code to give you the entire page of Fusion Authority. You know, I can't use that as a guideline. What I can do is point to a client where I was called in for one reason and one reason only. Speed it up. We're having timeouts all the time. Doing this removed every single timeout. So can I say that it was twice as fast, 5 times as fast? It was something faster than what it was. That's all I can say unless I run metrics, and I haven't. So I don't know exactly. I can't tell you exactly. All I can tell you is, okay, the execution time looks faster. We're jumping down from like, you know, 5,000 milliseconds to 3,000 or 2,000 milliseconds. Actually, no, I can give you one metric. Sean Corfield. Sean? Not here. Wonderful. I can do anything I want. Oh, and I should have said that earlier. Too late. See, you kill a joke. Sean Corfield is doing Fleck on the Fusebox 5, right? And he did the exact same thing I just suggested, removing the types, the return types, the requireds. He moved the execution time from 600 milliseconds to 200 milliseconds. So it's not a hardcore metric, but it is some metrics that you can look at. And if Sean, who, you know, Sean, he's like, oh, you got to do this exactly and this exactly. If Sean says, well, remove something that's core to CF argument, something that's kind of core to the way CF function works or the way a CFC works. I'm going to defer to him and say, hey, he agrees with me. Wow, this must be real. Because Sean and I, well, don't always agree. But the question? So he did the thing I mentioned? I really got to get more into... See, there's too many things going on. There's the Fusion Authority quarterly update, and, well, this, and the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. So I haven't looked at the new model glue. I didn't know that he's doing exactly what I suggested. So you already heard all this. I told you something you already know. I wasted your time. But notice what he said. The core files. Files that have been tested. Files that have been documented, files that they know what's supposed to happen, and this is good and solid code. Now, remove all the types and return types to speed it up. Do your own error handling to deal with anything you have to handle, but it's core files. I'm not saying do this for everything. Do this for things that should have it. Okay, any other questions before I jump back over? Debugger. It'll work. Let me close this. Yeah, I'm on a mailing list with a bunch of science fiction editors, writers, and publishers, so we get all this stuff like, ooh, the Superman movie. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, it's still booting up. Let me close this also. Oh, this wonderful thing, debugging. If you're developing, this must be on. And actually, if you're developing and you have like, if you have 5 extra minutes to spend, open up the debugging template, look at it, close it, wait for your nose to stop bleeding, open up again, look at it and say, what can I do in here? What can I change to give me more information? Because that debugging template has a lot of information. A lot of information that you might think you need and you don't see. So you can edit it. It's an open ColdFusion template. You can go crazy on it. It might cause you a tumor, but, you know, so I did mention that, so I am not liable for any brain damage, any, you know. Yes, I also have a Dinowitz debug, old thing from a science fiction book, but basically does the same thing except turns the tree, expands it out because it's missing a couple of things and turns it into a CF tree and gives the same information Ray has. But Ray's, see, one thing about Ray, and I will say this publicly on film, no matter how much I might disagree with some of the ways he does things, such as UUIDs, which I hate, he gives out the code. He actually puts it together, puts it out, and you have it in your hand. So I can say nothing about, oh, I have it too, because he has it, and he's given to you on his site, nicely documented, right there. If you've never been to Ray Camden's site, how many people here do not know Ray or have not been to his site? Okay, ray.camdenfamily.com. He has a lot of information, a CFC framework, a lot of code, a lot of free applications. Go look at it. Oh, he has a blog too with, you know, questions and answers. But so, Ray, if you're seeing this, 2 people raise their hand, just 2. But no. Check out the sites. I don't know about the model glue thing. If I knew, I would have been able to include it in here. But, you know, check out what other people are saying. What's going on in the ColdFusion world? Let's set the debug while that's happening. Localhost, okay. Should be throwing me back in here. Come on. Don't make me look bad. You make me look bad. This is supposed to work. What did I do wrong? I have an error. 5 minutes. Okay. What I'm going to do is when I get back up to the booth, I'm going to plug this into the projector. I'm going to kick the Xbox offline. I'm going to plug this into the projector. I'm going to go and call Germany. Well, actually, they're going to call me because I don't have, you know, international. They're going to call me, and I'm going to go and show you exactly what has to be done. I'm going to show you every single thing you have to know about this debugger, which I don't know because I've never used a debugger before. I do all my code by hand. I'm one of these, you know, non-real programmers that never took a programming class, learned it by, you know, playing with it before there's documentation. So actually, is anyone here a real programmer that knows how to use a... How do I use this? How do I start? I thought I started it. Well, I said, thread one. I am like so lost, and that looks terrible on film. I mean, this is a debugger. I've seen it yesterday. It showed me things that I didn't know about ColdFusion. Do you know that a ColdFusion variable, a string variable or a number, is stored internally as a car? And has a second field of information telling you the length. You know, I said for years, if you want to go and see if a variable, you know, has data or not, check its length. Don't check, you know, is blank or not. And I see now it's actually the best thing because it actually has a separate co-variable saying the length of it. And Yeah. I mean, showing you a lot of... It will show you a lot of information. Man, I am like so bummed that I'm looking bad. I'm sweating up here. Okay, relaunch. Well, this is the run new configuration, so we're running it. Yeah, but I don't see the step through. The step through basically allows you to step each line of code and say, okay, run this line, then run this line. Well, we're not running the query that's all the way down there. We're running line two. We're running line three. Yes. I know it looks like it's running, but I don't know how to actually get it to give me the ColdFusion variables that it's supposed to. I'm going to call Germany. I'm going to find out exactly what this is. I'm going to show up. I'm going to mug Mike Smith. I'm going to say, you're giving me another session, and I'm going to show everyone this thing. Yes? Oh, this doesn't exist yet. This is... No, actually, you know Fusion Reactor? Fusion Reactor is a very nice piece of software. And I'll be fair and say C Fusion and Fusion Reactor both do something that you need, which is the next level of debugging, which I haven't actually handled much, as you've seen. But when you run a template, you can see the debugging information. But can you see his debugging information? No. Can you see scheduled task debugging information? Not really. So when you have an application running, when you're watching your site, you see all this. You don't see all the information of how long each template took, how much memory it used, all this information, and this is all available in the Java dump and in, you know, the stack trace. So both CFusion and Fusion Reactor basically give you a plug into this that allows you to see all the processes that are running right now, killing them, you know, doing all these different things with each process. And you can say, this process always takes 30 seconds. Can I go and slice this down? This process is always using 100 meg of RAM. What am I doing wrong there? And it shows you the one piece that you can't see. It shows you what other people are having problems with, or what other processes are having problems with. And this is like the most important thing in the world. Now, what's the difference between CFusion and Fusion Reactor? That's what I hear all the time. Well, Fusion Reactor, much better UI. CFusion, better information. CFusion 4.0, yeah, I think they announced that. That's coming out, and I think it's built on Flex, which has a better UI. And Fusion Reactor has 2.0 coming out, which, I'll be totally honest, I have not seen, but I'm expecting has a better UI and more information. So they're both trying to, you know, do the same thing, which is provide you with information so you can be a better programmer. But the point is, okay, real fast, they told me to stop because she's going to mug me if not. The people that make Fusion Reactor is not the company. It's actually Integral GDBC, some German thing, but they make another product which will be released next month called Fusion Debug. Fusion Debug is this which is supposed to work. It literally is a debugger that plugs into any Eclipse you have, which means your Flex Builder, your CF Eclipse, or just, you know, Eclipse Plain. You plug it in, you run your ColdFusion template, you see all your information, you do step-throughs, you do step-ins, you know, you can step into a CF include or a CFC that's being called from the template you're running. So it has a whole bunch of stuff. It is almost feature complete. It's missing like one thing, which is a Eclipse issue, not a debugging issue. But expect to see that real soon, and I'm gonna go upstairs and I'm gonna make this work. Don't applaud. I screwed up. I did not show this right. I'm sorry.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.